بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our first session reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم by الإمام محمد بن صالح الأثيمين رحمه الله. And it is our intent this evening, بإذن الله تعالى, to take a few moments to give a brief introduction to the author, that is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And then we're going to read the text of the book, the text of this advice, which is just a few pages in Arabic. It's about 6.5 pages. We're going to read the text of the book without explanation. And then in the next 7 weeks, inshallah, we're going to go back through the book from beginning to end, point by point, from one section to the next, with the explanation of the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad al-Badr. And tonight, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala, we're going to briefly read something from the biography of the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and then we're going to read the actual advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. We're going to read the advice from beginning to end, inshallah, without any explanation. And in the next 7 weeks, inshallah, we're going to try to read the explanation of this important advice. So we're going to begin at this time with just a brief introduction for the author of the book, beginning with his name and place and date of birth. He is Al-Allama Al-Faqih Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Salih Ibn Muhammad Ibn Uthaymeen At-Tamimi al-Najdi, and he was born in the city of Unayza, in the region of Qasim, in Saudi Arabia. He was born on the 27th day of Ramadan, in the year 1347 of the Hijra, in a very well-known, famous religious family. From amongst his teachers, and there are many, the most important of his teachers is first and foremost, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. And secondly, the scholar of tafsir, Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti. And thirdly, al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. It is also said concerning his teaching style and his occupation, some of the religious posts that he held, it says that when he entered into teaching, a great number of students from inside and outside of Saudi Arabia benefited from him. And this is something that I witnessed myself when I went to Qasim to visit the Shaykh over 30 years ago. There were students from around the world, from every place in Saudi Arabia and every Muslim country and non-Muslim country that you can imagine. Those students were housed and provided for food and shelter by the Shaykh, rahimahullah. And they were real students, any full-time students, who were serious about learning. He had his own unique style of interpretation and explanation of religious points. And whoever has read his books, you can see his very, very beautiful, effective, unique style of interpretation and explanation. He was from among those scholars who served Islam without any type of religious prejudice and kept themselves away from the limitations of taqleed, of blind following. Rather, he was distinguished in his great exertion of effort, ijtihad, to the extent, and his ijtihad was to the extent that there is no doubt that he is considered to be a mujtahid. And I know personally from my own experience that there were many people, because of his ijtihad and his differing with the opinions of the madhab, and in the madhab of his country, the Hanbali madhab, because he differed with so many opinions of the madhab, there were real students of knowledge who had some dislike for the Shaykh, because they didn't like the idea that he opposed the madhab on so many issues. Because he was a mujtahid, so he wasn't required to follow the madhab. And this, his ijtihad in religious matters and qiyas, analogical deductions, clearly prove the religious understanding that he possessed and the correct usage of the principles, the usul of the deen. In giving religious verdicts, like his teacher, Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, the fatawa, the legal rulings of Al-Imam ibn Uthaymeen, are based upon the manhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, which is, yani, deriving evidence from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. As far as his, yani, occupation or his, yani, task or, yani, responsibilities that he had, he was a professor of Usuluddin in the Kuliyat al-Sharia of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud, Islamic University in Qasim. He was also a member of the Council of Senior Scholars, Kibar al-Ulama, of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and he was the Imam and Khatib of the Masjid al-Jamia in the city of Unayza. Among his well-known translated works, any of the book, the Shaykh has like books, unlimited number of books, but we want to mention some of the books that people can go back to and find that have been translated. In Aqidah, there's a very, very beneficial explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, which is extremely, extremely valuable. Yani, the book itself is an important book, and his explanation, yani, is unique. Also, his explanation of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamentals, and his explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, that we have referred to many times in the book that we just completed. He has also a brief but extremely beneficial explanation of Lumat al-Itiqad by Al-Imam ibn Qudama, and explanations of many other books, including a book that is not an explanation, but his own, and a book of his own writing, The Exemplary Foundations Concerning the Beautiful Names and Attributes of Allah, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla. And then the other books. In Tafsir, he has a small introduction to the principles, the usul of Tafsir, which explains, yani, what are some of the principles or guidelines in the use of, how to approach Tafsir. And he has also has a very, very nice explanation of Ayatul Kursi that is translated by Dr. Salih Asali, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. There are many books, other books than that. In Hadith, there's two important books that any people should possess, any should acquire and benefit from: the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin and the explanation of the 40 Hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. In Fiqh and Fatawa, one of the important books of the Shaykh that is extremely beneficial is the Fatawa of the Arkan al-Islam, the Fatawa related to the five pillars of Islam. Tremendous, valuable book. Also, a description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is about 300 pages. Sujood al-Sahwa, the Majalis of the Shahr al-Ramadan, and many other books. In summary, his character, Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, was famous for simplicity, modesty, and his exemplary behavior in dealing with everyone that he met. He was very simple. He lived in a simple place. His house was so simple that when the ruler of the country came to visit him in his house, he offered to build him a home. And he told them, I'm already building one. And he was referring to the home that he's building in the cemetery. His death, Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen passed away on Wednesday, the 15th of Shawwal, in the year 1421. How long ago was that? 1421. What year is this? 45. So that makes how many years?
426.
So if there's anybody here that's less than 25, mashallah, they didn't meet the Shaykh, for sure. He died at the age of 74. He was buried in Mecca. May Allah, and he shower his mercy upon him. Ameen. So this is a brief summary of the biography of the Shaykh. And there are lengthy biographies and many books written about his life after his passing. Some important books, one of them, I don't remember the title of it, that has been translated into English. I think it's called Abu Abdullah from Fatwa Online. What is his book? The Gems of Guidance or something, Jewels of Guidance. In that book, actually, the brother has translated stories from the life of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh ibn Baz, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. Tremendous, valuable book with true stories from the lives of these three great imams. As I mentioned in the beginning, inshallah, we're going to attempt to read the actual advice of the Sheikh in its entirety, which is just a few pages long. And as I think I mentioned last week, I first read it on a large sheet of paper hanging in the masjid near my house. On one sheet of paper, the whole advice. And we have it with large print on a small printed book, this size here, very small size book, in only 6.5 pages. And some of the brothers have volunteered to memorize, and I hope, inshallah, that Allah grants them success in memorizing this extremely valuable risala. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Shaykh began, Min Muhammad al-Sali al-Uthaymin ila al-Ibn, Hafidhahullah ta'ala. Yani from Muhammad al-Sali al-Uthaymin to the son. Yani his son, he's referring to one of his students as his son. May Allah protect and preserve him. And the Shaykh and the student, both of them have passed away. Rahimahumullah, rahmatan wasiya. He says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Which doesn't require translation, wa ba'd. After that he said, Faqad sa'altani barakallahu fika an adha'a laka manhajan tasiru alayhi fi hayatika. He said, indeed you have asked me, may Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. He said, indeed you have asked me to place or to put or to write for you a manhaj. A manhaj, yani a path, a methodology for you to travel upon in your life. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَن يُوَفِّقَنَا جَمِيعًا لِمَا فِيهِ الْهُدَى وَالرَّشَادِ وَالصَّوَابِ وَالسَّدَادِ وَأَن يَجْعَلَنَا هُدَاتًا مُحْتَدِينَ صَالِحِينَ مُسْلِحِينَ. He said, so indeed, I ask Allah the Most High to grant us success, all of us, yani me and you and everyone else. I ask Allah to grant us success. لِمَا فِيهِ الْهُدَى وَالرَّشَادِ. In the translation, الْهُدَى وَالرَّشَادِ has been translated by one word. And they do have two different meanings. Even though, if they're used separately, they may have the same meaning. But here they are used together, and therefore each of them has its own meaning. I just want to bring that to your attention. He said, we ask Allah to grant us success to that which contains al-huda wal-rashad. Yani, right guidance and correct conduct. And some of the scholars like Ibn Qayyim said that al-huda and al-rashad have the same meaning if they are used separately. But when they come together, each has its own meaning, and al-huda, it is yani the ilm, al-ilm bil-haq, to have knowledge of that which is right, and al-rashad is acting upon it, yani al-amal bihi. So these two words actually have two different meanings as they're used here together. And Allah, may Allah grant us success to al-huda and al-rashad and al-sawab wa-sadad. And also he translated these two words as one word as well, and each of them has a separate meaning. And I would translate as al-sawab as correctness, yani in our actions and our behavior. And as-sadad, yani as-sadad, it means yani hitting the mark. Yani Ibn al-Qayyim says, huwa isabatu al-qasd, qawlan wa amalan. And al-Qadi Iyad said, as-sadad al-qasd fawqa al-tafreet wa dun al-ghulu. Yani that as-sadad means that a person gets it right on the mark. Yani in speech or in action. It means not falling short in the matter and not going to an extreme. And he got not going to the extreme in the matter. So the Shaykh, he's making this dua, saying, may Allah yani guide us, give us success to right guidance and good conduct and behavior and correctness in our actions and in our beliefs and in our speech and hitting the mark, yani being right on the mark. And then he said, may Allah make us to be hudatan muhtadin. And these two words also have different meanings. Hudat means the yani the hadi, the one who is a guide. And muhtadi is the one who has been guided aright. And salihin and muslihin also, he translates them as one word, and they have two different meanings. As-sali is the person who is righteous within himself. And al-musli is the one who rectifies and reforms and corrects others. And here the Shaykh is saying, may Allah make us to be of those who are rightly guided and who guide others. And we don't suffice with being rightly guided, but we use that guidance for ourselves and to share it with the rest of the people. And may He make us to be from the Salihin and the Muslihin. Yani the Salih is the person who's righteous with himself but is not satisfied with that. Rather, goes beyond himself and tries to use that which he has to help, to reform, to improve, to rectify the society. So this is the first page that we're going to memorize the first week. 5 lines or 4 lines. Very, very easy for the young people. On page 15, that was from page 14 of the text of the advice of the Shaykh. On page 15, the Shaykh says, أولاً, يعني this منهج يومي لطالب العلم. He said, أولاً, meaning the first area that he's going to write concerning this advice is مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. First and foremost, يعني your relationship, how to regulate your life in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to regulate your life, مَعَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And he says, number one, and there are 4 points here. So there are 4 points in the first matter, and then there are 3 points in the second matter, yani how to regulate your life with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there are 5 points in the third matter, yani your acts of worship every day outside of the obligatory duties. And then there are 6 matters in the fourth matter, seeking knowledge, yani how to traverse the path of seeking knowledge. So there are 4 matters here, yani your manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, ihris ala an takuna da'iman ma'a Allah azza wa jalla mustahdiran azamatahu mutafakkiran fi ayatihi. I'm going to stop here because ayatihi, there are 2 types, al-ayat al-qawniya, which he mentions here, and then after that, al-ayat al-shara'iyya. So he's saying here, ihris, and he be diligent and eager and work hard towards being, yani an takuna anta daiman ma'a Allah azza wa jalla mustahdiran azamatahu mutafakkiran fi ayatihi al-qawniya. Yani be diligent in trying to make yourself always be with Allah in a state of mustahdiran, calling to mind, being conscious of the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His azamah. Always trying to be conscious all the time of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mutafakkiran fi ayatihi al-qawniya wa shara'iyya. And that a person is reflecting and pondering and contemplating the signs of Allah. First, the signs of Allah in the creation. Yani what Allah has created. Ayatihi al-qawniya. Mithru khalq al-samawati wal-ard. Like, for example, from the signs of Allah al-qawniya are the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yani looking at what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth. And that's unlimited signs. Unlimited signs that point to Allah, the creator of those of the creation. And His greatness and His glory and His knowledge and His mercy and His kindness and His generosity to the created beings. Yani being conscious of, calling to mind. Meaning, mustahdira means that a person actively tries to remember something, to keep something in the forefront of your mind. What is it that you're keeping in the forefront of your mind? The greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, reflecting, pondering over, contemplating His universal signs, like the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَمَا عَوْضَ فِيهِمَا مِنْ بَالِغِ حِكْمَتِهِ وَبَاهِرِ قُدْرَتِهِ وَعَظِيمِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَمِنَّتِهِ. And also, what? Yani, what Allah created in the heavens and the earth and what He has placed in it that are manifestations of His far-reaching, profound hikmah, His wisdom. And in the creation of the heavens and the earth is a manifestation of Allah's far-reaching, profound wisdom. وَبَاهِرِ قُدْرَتِهِ. And His brilliant, dazzling, yani, display of His power, His qudra, His ability, yani His ability to create and to do, put everything in the order that it is in. وَعَظِيمِ رَحْمَتِهِ وَمِنَّتِهِ. And the greatness and the magnificence of His mercy to the creation and His favors and bounties to the created beings. That's in the al-ayat al-qawniya. وَآيَاتِهِ الشَّرْعِيَّ. And His legislative signs, yani the signs that are in that which He revealed in the revelations. أَلَّتِي بَعَثَ بِهَا رُسُلَهُ وَلَا سِيَمَا khatimuhum Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the signs of what Allah has given to us in the revelations, in the, that which He legislated in His Sharia, which He sent, which He sent His messengers with. Yani the signs that are in what Allah revealed, that He sent His messengers with. And especially the seal of those messengers, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, in the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن يكون قلبك مملوءً بمحبة الله تعالى. يعني احرص على also be diligent in doing what? In making sure that your heart will be filled with the love of Allah the Most High. يعني making an effort to fill your heart with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لما يغذوك به من النعم ويدفع عنك من النقم ولا سيما نعمة الإسلام والاستقامة عليه حتى يكون أحب شيء إليك. Yani that a person should fill their heart with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to many things. He mentions two general areas here. Due to what Allah has nourished and nurtured you with of His blessings and bounties. The good that He has given to you. And that which He has removed or repulsed or pushed away from you from the niqam, adversities and difficulties and hardships. Yani Allah has given us many favors. And Allah has protected us from many harms. And these are two general areas due to which a person should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, and especially ni'mat al-Islam wal istiqamati alayhi. Especially the greatest ni'mah that Allah has given to us is the favor of Islam and being upright and steadfast upon it. Remaining upon it. Hatta yakuna. Yani a person should strive to fill their heart with love of Allah. For these reasons and others, حَتَّى يَكُونَ هُوَ يعني Allah. And here in the translation, they have translated يَكُونُ يعني to refer to the love of Allah. And actually the meaning here is crystal clear that it's so that حَتَّى يَكُونُ هُوَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حَبَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ يعني fill your heart with the love of Allah for these reasons and others so that, such that until He becomes the most beloved to you. That Allah becomes the most beloved to you. More beloved than anything or anyone else. Number three. أن يكون قلبك يعني احرص على أن يكون قلبك مملوءا بتعظيم الله عز وجل حتى يكون يعني هو الله سبحانه وتعالى حتى يكون في نفسك أعظم شيء. يعني that a person should strive and make an effort and be diligent in filling their heart with the ta'zim of Allah. Yani the exaltation and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jalla. Until, or so that, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within your nafs, is the greatest thing. That there's nothing greater than Allah within yourself, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, here on these two points, he combines these two points, filling your heart with the mahabba of Allah and ta'zeem of Allah. He says, وَبِجْتِمَاءِ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعْظِيمِهِ في قلبك تستقيم على طاعته قائما بما أمر به لمحبتك إياه تاركا لما نهى عنه لتعظيمك له. Yani by combining in your heart, في قلبك, combining in your heart these two things, the love of Allah the Most High and the exaltation and glorification of Allah in your heart, combining these two things in your heart, it is through that a person تستقيم على طاعته, that a person will be steadfast and upright upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can a person be upright and steadfast upon obedience to Allah? It is by filling your heart with the love of Allah, that He is due. And filling your heart with the ta'zeem of Allah, that He is due. The Shaykh says, تَسْتَقِيمُ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ قَائِمًا بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ. And then a person will be fulfilling and establishing that which he has commanded. لِمَحَبَّتِكَ إِيَّاهُ Because of your love for him, you will fulfill that which he has commanded. Because of your love for him. He said, تَارِكًا لِمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ لِتَعَظِيمِكَ لَهُ And you will leave, you will abandon, you will give up that which he has prohibited because of your ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of your glorification, exaltation, because of your recognition and consciousness of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These points require explanation. Tonight we're just reading. But next week, inshallah, in the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to do the Shaykh's explanation of these points. Point number 4, the last point concerning the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he said, number 4, أن تكون مخلصا له جل وعلا في عبادتك. Yani that a person should strive and struggle and be diligent in being sincere, mukhlis, having ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of your acts of worship. Ikhlas of Allah in your acts of worship. Mutawakkilan alayhi fi jami'i ahwalika. And that a person be reliant, dependent upon Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all of your ahwal, in every situation or circumstance. Two things here. What? Having ikhlas in your worship and having tawakkul in your every situation and circumstance. لِتُحَقِّقَ بِذَلِكَ مَقَامَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ from Surah Al-Fatiha. So that you can realize, so that you can actualize by doing so, by having ikhlas in your worship and tawakkul ala Allah in all of your affairs, you will realize the station of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, of that which we recite in every rak'ah, of every prayer, every single day. We declare that it is you alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we worship. This requires ikhlas in our worship. And it is you alone that we ask for help. This requires reliance, yani tawakkul ala Allah, alone. A person then, he said, is able to achieve this high station of the one who worships Allah alone and depends on Allah alone. Then he mentions another point. It's not numbered, but it seems to me that it could be a separate point. He closes by saying, وَتَسْتَحْضِرُ بِقَلْبِكَ أَنَّكَ إِنَّمَا تَقُومُ بِمَا عَمْرَ امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِهِ وَتَتْرُكُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ امْتِثَالًا لِنَحْيِهِ. That a person should call to mind, should make their self always be conscious in their heart that they're doing whatever he has commanded is in compliance with his command. It is because, yani, they want to comply with his command. And they're leaving off whatever he is prohibited, it is in compliance with his prohibition. Yani, the reason why a person does what they do is because Allah has commanded it. And the reason why a person leaves off what they do is because Allah prohibited it. He said, calling to mind this, yani, to having this in your heart, that the reason, the only reason why you're doing what Allah has commanded is because you want to comply with his command. And the only reason why you abandon what he has prohibited is because you want to comply with his prohibition. فَإِنَّكَ بِذَلِكَ تَجِدُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ طَعَمًا لَا تُدْرُكُهُ مَا الْغَفْرَةِ. In this way, by doing this, you will find a sweetness in the worship that you would never be able to achieve in ghafla. And if you were unmindful of this, if you were unmindful of why you are doing what you're doing and why you are leaving what you're leaving, if you were unmindful of that, you would never be able to achieve this ta'am, yani this sweetness, this taste, this satisfaction that you find in your worship when you're conscious of why you're doing what you're doing. He said, وَتَجِدُ فِي الْأُمُورِ أَوْنًا مِنْهُ لَا يَحْصُلُ لَكَ مَا الْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. And you will also find, when a person is conscious of what, why they're doing what they're doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why they're leaving what they're leaving, you will also find in all of your affairs, help, aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you would never have been able to achieve if you had been dependent on your own individual self. Thaniyan, the second part of this advice, Thaniyan is ma Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, what is your manhaj in your life, your relationship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, number 1, and there are 3 points. أن تقدم, يعني احرص على أن تقدم محبته على محبة كل مخلوق. يعني that a person gives precedence to the love of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم over the love of every other created being. وحجه وسنته على كل حج وسنة. And that you give precedence to his guidance and to his sunnah over any other guidance, any other sunnah. Number 2, أن تتخذه يعني احرص على أن تتخذه إماما لك في عبادتك وأخلاقك in two areas. And also a person should be diligent in taking him as your imam in all of your acts of worship and in your akhlaq, in your ibadat and in your akhlaq. Yani your ibadat meaning in your relationship with Allah, and your akhlaq in your relationship with the people, that he is your imam in worship and in your dealings with the people. بِحَيْثُ تَسْتَحْضِرُ عَنْدَ فِعْلِ عِبَادَةً أَنَّكَ مُتَّبِعٌ لَهُ وَكَأَنَّهُ أَمَامَكَ تَتَرَسَّمُ خُطَاهُ وَتَنْهَجُ نَهْجَهُ. Yani that you are conscious such that, taking him as your imam in your worship and in your akhlaq with the people, such that you be conscious at every time when you do any act of worship, you are conscious that you are following him in doing so. And we just had this discussion last week or so, yani about the people who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their behavior, in everything that they do, then their adat become ibadat. And the people who are in ghafla, then their ibadat become adat. Just regular things that don't count as worship. Here the shaykh is saying something similar to that. He's saying that be conscious in every act of worship that you do, that you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in doing it, as though he is in front of you. And you are following his every footstep, and you are traveling upon his path. Secondly, as a part of this second point, وَكَذَلِكَ فِي مُخَالَقَةِ النَّاسِ. And likewise, in the same way that you call to mind in every act of worship that you are following the Prophet, likewise, in your dealings with the people, in your interactions with the people, call to mind, أَنَّكَ مُتَخَلِّقٌ بِأَخْلَاقِهِ الَّتِي قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْهَا وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. From Surah Qalam. He said, likewise, call to mind, in your interactions with the people, that you are yani characterizing yourself with his character, with his akhlaq, that which Allah said about it in the Quran about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To him Allah said, wa innaka la'ala kullukan azim, that indeed certainly you are upon a high standard of character. Wa mata iltazamta bihadha فَسَتَكُونُ حَرِيصًا غَايَةَ الْحِرْصِ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ بِشَرِيَتِهِ وَأَخْلَاقِهِ. So whenever a person iltazamta, yani when you make this obligatory upon you, that in every act of worship you're following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in your interactions with the people you're following the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person makes this a requirement for themselves, then they will have the utmost diligence in seeking knowledge of his sharia, and how he worshipped, and of his akhlaq, how he dealt with the people. Point number three, final point of the manhaj with the messenger, أن تكون دائماً داعياً لسنته ناصراً لها مدافعاً عنها فإن الله تعالى سينصرك بقدر نصرك لشريعته. That a person should be diligent in seeking to be a da'iyah, a caller to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a supporter, nasir, helper, supporter of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one who defends the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed Allah the Most High will support you to whatever extent you support the sharia and the sunnah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thalithan, the third aspect of the manhaj of the seeker of knowledge. And every Muslim, talibul ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. So every Muslim must be seeking knowledge. Thalithan, amaluka al-yawmi ghayru al-mafrudat. Amaluka al-yawmiyu ghayru al-mafrudat. Yani your actions that you do daily outside of, other than the obligatory duties. Outside of the obligatory duties. What are the things, the acts of worship? And there are many. And the Shaykh, he mentions here just five of them. He mentions five things. Apparently the most important of what he saw, that a Muslim should make part of their daily life in terms of non-obligatory, voluntary, extra, yani things that a Muslim should be doing. Number one, إِذَا قُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَذْكُرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. And if you get up in the night, Yani to pray. Then remember Allah the Most High. Yani make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise and glorify Him. Wada'u Allah bima shitta. And supplicate to Allah with whatever you will. Praise and glorify Allah and supplicate to Allah. فَإِنَّ الدُّعَاء فِي هَذَا الْمَوْتِنِ حَرِيٌّ بِالْإِجَابَةِ Because dua in this situation, when a person gets up in the night, dua in this situation is more likely, is worthy, is expected to be answered. وَقْرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى And read the saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ To the end of the ayat, حَتَّى تَخْتِمَ سُورَةَ آلِ إِمْرَانَ وَهِيَ عَشْرُ آيَاتِ And read, praise and supplicate to Allah, and read the saying of Allah the Most High, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, to the end of the ayat, until you complete Surah Ali Imran, to the end of the surah, and there are 10 ayats. And 10 ayats mean that they're rounding off the number to 10. There are 11 ayats. But as we saw before, 40 hadith is not really 40 hadith, right? But it's rounded off to 40. He said, to the end of the surah. And we will see that this was from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to recite these ayats when he woke up in the night, even before he got up and made wudu or prayed. Number two, صلي ما كتب لك في آخر الليل واختم صلاتك بالوتر. Yani pray whatever has been written for you in the end of the night. Yani whatever Allah has decreed for you to pray, whether it is Yani 2 rakah or 4 rakah or 6 rakah or 8 rakah, whatever. Pray whatever Allah has decreed for you in the end of the night, and then conclude it with Salatul Witr. Yani an odd number 1 or 3 or 5 or whatever. Number 3, حافظ على ما تيسر لك من أذكار الصباح. Yani guard and protect and preserve and maintain whatever is easy for you from the Adhkar of the morning, Adhkar al-Sabah. That is mentioned in the Hisni Muslim and other books of supplications. What the Prophet ﷺ used to recite after the Fajr prayer. And he gives as an example of the Adhkar al-Sabah, قُلْ مِيَةَ مَرَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ هُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Yani that a person says, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped of Allah alone, and he has no partners, to him is the kingdom and to him is the praise, and he has power over all things. And we'll mention the hadith in the Shaykh's explanation in the coming weeks. Number 4, صلي ركعتي الدحى. Perform the 2 rakah of Salatul Duha. That is the 2 rakah that it is sunnah to perform after sunrise. Yani 15 or 20 minutes after sunrise or whatever. Yani in that time, a person can pray Yani Salatul Duha as 2 rakah or 4 rakah or 6 rakah. And the time is from after sunrise until a little bit before Dhuhr prayer. Number 5. حافظ على أذكار المساء ما تيسر لك منها and guard and protect and preserve and observe and maintain the words of remembrance of the evening. That is, after the Salat al-Asr. Whatever is easy for a person to do. And in the Hisni Muslim book, there's like 23 supplication or adhkar that a person can recite in the adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa. Some of them are for morning and evening, some of them for exclusively morning, and some for evening. So the Shaykh is saying here, there are many adhkar, whatever is easy for you. But do something from them. Rabian. And this is the last point in the little bit of time that's remaining. Rabian, tariqatul talib al-ilm. And this is what, yani we're looking for. But actually what preceded is more important. Yani your relationship with Allah, and your relationship with the Messenger of Allah, and your worship. Yani the worship that a person should be giving attention to outside of what's obligatory. What's obligatory is like doesn't require discussion. We're talking about the person who's serious about seeking knowledge has to have some worship outside of what is obligatory. Rabian, tariqatul talib al-ilm, the path or the method or the way of seeking knowledge, he says number 1, and here he mentions 6 points. Ihris ala hifdhi kitab Allah ta'ala. Well known, right? Yani a person be diligent in seeking to memorize the book of Allah, the Most High, as much as one is able to do. وَاجْعَلْ لَكَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ شَيْئًا مُعَيِّنًا تُحَافِظُ عَلَى قِرَاءَتِهِ While memorizing the Qur'an, a person should also make, set up a certain portion every single day that they are going to recite from the Book of Allah. Yani that every day a person is reciting 10 pages or 20 pages or 5 pages or whatever. Every single day a person has to have something from the Quran that they're going to be reciting and that they stick to this. And yani be consistent in it. وَلْتَكُنْ قِرَاعَتُكَ بِتَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَهُمٍ. And make your recitation of the Quran, your reading of the Quran, be a reading in which there is reflection upon what you are reading and there's understanding of what you are reading. And that might require that a person read from the tafsir as well. وَإِذَا عَنَّتْ لَكَ فَائِدَةً أَثْنَاءَ الْقِرَاءَ فَقَيِّدْهَا. And if a person, if some benefit comes to your mind, presents itself to you while you're reading the Quran, write it down. Write it down. Have a little notebook where you write down these points that you're going to go back to that are benefits that you're not going to see every single day. Number two, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى حِفْظْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ صَحِيْهِ Sunnati Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa min dhalika hifdh umdat al-ahkam. That a person should be diligent in trying to memorize whatever they find easy to do from the authentic sahih sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani sahih, from that which is sahih, from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the most important books from which a person can memorize is umdat al-ahkam. And in the explanation, inshallah, we'll talk about this book a little bit. It's a very, very important book which contains hadith which are almost all muttafaqun alayh. And there are some that are just reported by Bukhari and some by Muslim. They are all authentic hadith. Number three, إحرص على التركيز والثبات بحيث لا تأخذ العلم نتفا من هذا شيئا ومن هذا شيئا لأن هذا يضيع وقتك ويشتت ذهنكَ. And there's a word here, I'm not really sure, but it seems as though it should be شيئًا منسوب. And Allahu A'lam, it looks like it's not منسوب, it's مرهون or مجرور. But I think it should be منسوب, and Allah knows best. إحرص على التركيز والثبات. يعني seek to concentrate in your studies. And to remain steadfast and firm. يعني meaning, يعني concentrate on whatever you're going to study, stick to something, focus on something, and be steadfast in it. Such that, لا تأخذوا العلم نتفا من هذا, يعني, لا تأخذوا شيئا من هذا, ولا تأخذوا شيئا من هذا. That's what it seems to mean. يعني, don't take knowledge نتفا, يعني in small amounts. A little bit from here, and a little bit from here. Yani a person is all over the place. But concentrate and focus on what you're going to study and be firm and steadfast upon it. And do not take ilm in small amounts. Little by little. Some a little bit from here and a little bit from there. Then the hadha yudayya waqtak. Because this will waste your time and it will scatter your mind. Number four. And the Shaykh has some discussion concerning this. In the next few weeks we're going to look at it. Number four. The Shaykh says, ابدأ بصغار الكتب. Then he begin with the smaller books. وتأملها جيدا. And study them, examine them. يعني carefully, very well. ثم انتقل إلى ما فوقها. Then go to the books that are on a higher level. And he start with the beginner's books. And then after studying them well, go to the next level. حتى تحصل على العلم شيئا فشيئا على وجه يرسخ في قلبك وتطمئن إليه نفسك. يعني so that you will achieve, يعني you will achieve knowledge little by little, يعني gradually in a manner in which يعني يرسخ في قلبك, يعني that knowledge will become firmly rooted in your heart. وَتَتْمَعِنُّ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُكَ. And your nafs, yourself, will be at ease with it, will be comfortable with that which you have learned. This is a printing, yani voweling mistake in تَتْمَعِنُّ, yani as, which is obvious, I think. Yani it should be تَتْمَعِنُّ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُكَ. Number five, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ أُصُولِ الْمَسَائِلِ وَقَوَاعِدِهَا. And be diligent and eager to know, to become acquainted with the fundamentals, the foundations of the issues. وَقَوَاعِدِهَا. And its principles. يعني the usul and the qawaid. يعني it is important that a person becomes familiar with the usul and the qawaid, the fundamentals, the foundations of any issue, and the principles. وَقَيِّدْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَمُرُّ بِكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَبِيلِ. And a person should write down everything that they come across, yani of this type of knowledge, the usul and the qawaid. Write it down. فَقَدْ قِيلَ. Why? Because it has been said, مَنْ حُرِمَ الْأُصُولِ حُرِمَ الْوُصُولِ. And whoever has been deprived of the fundamentals, the foundations, then they will be deprived of arriving, of reaching, yani, the goal of knowledge that they are seeking. Number 6, and this is the last point. ناقش المسائل مع شيخك أو من تثق به علما ودينا من أقرانك. يعني ناقش, what is intended here is not to debate with your sheikh. What is intended here is to discuss, to examine the issues that you are studying with your sheikh. Have discussions. Even if not formally in the gathering, afterwards. After we pray, inshallah, sit down and have some discussion. Yani discuss these issues with your sheikh. Or whoever you have trust in that person's knowledge and their deen from amongst your aqran, yani your fellow students. Discuss the issues. Don't just learn and keep on moving. But discuss the issues and make sure you understand them with your teacher or with other students who you trust their knowledge and their, yani, being upon the sunnah. وَلَوْ بِأَنْ يُقَدِّرَ فِي ذِئْنِكَ أَنَّ أَحَدًا يُنَاقِشُكَ فِيهَا. Even if you imagine, yani, you suppose, you presume, and you couldn't have time to do it with your teacher or with one of the other students, so you can imagine in your mind that there's someone who's having this discussion with you. And he's going over the issues even by yourself in your own mind. إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ الْمُنَاقَشَةُ مَا مَنْ سَمَّيْنَا. Yani if you are not able to have that discussion with those who we have named. Yani meaning your sheikh or the other students. Then the sheikh closes with dua. هَذَا وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَن يُعَلِّمَكَ. And there's some voweling here that pay attention to, because yani there's some verbs here that should be mansub and they're marfu'un with dhamma. And I think it's known to those who are studying Arabic. Those who have an Arabic copy, know Arabic, inshallah, pay attention to the voweling mistakes. هَذَا وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَن يُعَلِّمَكَ مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. And I ask Allah the Most High that He teach you that which will benefit you. وَيَنْفَعْ وَأَنْ يَنْفَعَ. Yani it should be, yani, أَن يُعَلِّمَكَ مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَيَنْفَعَكَ بِمَا عَلَّمَكَ. And that He benefit you through what He has taught you. وَيَزِيدَكَ يعني وَأَنْ يَزِيدَكَ عِلْمًا. And that He increase you in knowledge. وَيَجَعَلَكَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَحِزْبِهِ الْمُفْلِحِينَ. And that He make you to be from amongst His righteous worshippers. And that He makes you to be amongst His success, the successful ones from His, yani حزب, the party of the successful. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And may the salam of Allah and the mercy of Allah and His blessings be upon you. كَتَبَهُ مُحَمَّدْ الصَّالِي الْأُثَيْمِينَ, the 3rd of Rajab, 1412. And then it was signed, in the original paper was signed by the Shaykh. And this is what we wanted to cover today. We still have 1 minute left. But we're not going to take questions now. Inshallah, after the Salat, if there are any questions or any comments, unless there's a correction, we'll take it in this minute. Type, whoever is free, you're welcome to stay after the Salat. We have some light refreshments. You're welcome to stay, inshallah, and have the munakasha with your aqran, yani with your fellow students, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He grant us success in doing it according to the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His generosity and His kindness, that He recognize, reward record and reward our good deeds and pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat ala siratul mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. We ask Allah to grant a quick and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, that He fill their graves with light and make them spacious and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into His paradise. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant safety and security and refuge and comfort to the Muslims who are oppressed in Palestine and in the other Muslim lands and in the non-Muslim lands, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them His protection from in front of them and behind them, and from the right of them and the left of them, and above them and behind them, as only He can do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them and to make their affair easy for them now and later. بإذنه تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أمين يا رب العالمين.